Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
And thank you once again for tuning in to our boardroom chats. I hope you enjoy them.
This is number 320.
You like saying that, don't you?
I don't do it every time.
Almost every
time. Does it bother you?
No, I like it. Praise the Lord.
That's evidently a lot of chats. Yeah, and you know, I hear from people that they binge watch on them. They watch them over our old ones. You know, they're classics, many of them.
Praise the Lord.
Like I tell all you, of them.
Well, we like talking to you, and I pray you like listening, and it's just such a blessing of the Lord.
Yeah, we get testimonies from people how much they love listening.
You want to start? Let's read them again.
Why not? Start. Patricia says, watching from Australia. Francisco says, watching from Costa Rica. Connie says, thank you for bringing God to me, and thank you for your testimonies and love of Jesus.
That made my day right there.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's Connie. Thank you, Connie, for sending that in. That blessed me.
Yes. And this one from YouTube says, I've been a partner for at least 30 years.
Praise God.
I believe it is one reason we are totally debt-free, including our home and cabin.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's a second home. Two homes. goes on to say, thank you for teaching the truth, JDM. I led a man to Jesus this morning, and it started by sharing my testimony of being free from booze and cigarettes. Just like Jesse.
Thank you. I appreciate
and
that.
And Dad, he's free from debt as well. But isn't that great, your testimony? We talked about testimonies on our last boardroom.
Yeah.
Time. Hugo says, I love JDM immensely. May God keep you always. Thank you for all you do. From Beverly Hills, California.
Beverly Hills. Thank you.
Yes. And this one's from Mary. She says, you've made a big impact in my life. I love all the stories you tell. You keep me laughing, and I need that. Love you guys so much. I see Jesus in you when I'm listening to you. I can deeply sense your growth in the Lord. It's nothing short of amazing. I hope you had a happy anniversary.
Certainly did.
Yeah, people have heard about our anniversary. This last testimony.
56 years with the same woman. That's a miracle.
Say that
God.
With a smile.
56 years with the same woman. That's a miracle of God.
That's not a natural looking smile. You got a beautiful smile. Why do you feel like you're going
to
force that?
It's hard to smile when you're talking. You know,
you were talking. I was the one talking. Okay. Anyway, this last one says, it's about the anniversary too. It says, best wishes for a glorious 56th anniversary year filled with prosperity, health, joy, and abundance of God's blessing. Isn't that great?
I tell you, and we did have a great Thanksgiving day.
Thanksgiving,
because I thank God for Kathy every day.
You messed up.
I messed up right
there. But I'm glad you're thankful.
Yes, yes. What I wanted to say is, I don't remember what I wanted to say.
Great anniversary.
It was great anniversary. It really was,
56
yeah.
years, 20, and I wrote on, I think
that's
I
what I was trying to say, the days.
20,440 days.
42 days.
Now it's 40, well, it would depend when this airs.
This is Saturday, Sunday, yeah. 42 days. Praise God.
Well, this airs on
you
Thursday.
Can tell we shouldn't be talking about that subject. Praise God.
A long time.
Praise the Lord. Anyway, God is so good. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk about this. I wrote this book, and it's probably one of my favorite books. Anyway, I'll Never Learn to Doubt. Doubt is has so many different definitions and things of nature that shuts down the will of God in your life, shuts down everything in your life. Shut down your marriage. If you doubt your wife is a good person, you won't hardly walk out the door. Scared. It's crazy. I want to talk about that and give you some different definitions of doubt.
Hmm.
And I believe this is going to be a good boardroom chat. And if it's real good, I'll do part two if it's going good.
It's always good.
Well, you know what I mean? Some of them are just better. Let me just say.
If we have more to say about it.
Yeah. Look what Jesus said about doubt. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Let me start reading verse 19. Well, verse 18. Now, in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you had faith and not doubt, watch this, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, not something, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's a big statement. Believing, all things. He said, Doubt is what destroys things. Well, you know, I went to my desk at my house and I brought this out. And if you got our book, and if you want to get our book, all you got to do is go to jdm.org and you can order it if you like. There's a lot of that. But there's some things in here that are not in our book that we wrote down for different definitions of doubt. Number one, you ready for this? Doubt was the first theft of mankind's position. Mm. Now think about that. That's what happened to Eve.
She doubted her position.
Yeah, she doubted her position. And she doubted, and Satan put doubt in her mind, and she accepted it. Mm. You will not surely die. You will not die. Mm-hmm. So she ate of the fruit. It lost her position. Mm-hmm. Doubt will make you lose your position. If you had a job and your employer or your boss or whatever you call it, supervisor, doubts you, you will never climb the ladder.
Or if you doubt that you can do the job.
That's another
because
thing.
Because that's what stops you from being able to learn and be trained properly. You know, if the wall goes up, somebody's trying to teach you, and you doubt right, you can right. learn it, it's a major stumbling block, and it'll stop you from staying in the position you're in. I mean, you may even get fired.
Doubt need to learn. Will make you insecure. That's another good definition. You'd be surprised. And, you know, you should believe in yourself and believe in the God that created you. So you can write it down if you like. Doubt was the first theft of mankind's position. Hmm. And it's amazing to me how much proof the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father God has given that his word will work, come to pass, and yet people doubt. One of the craziest examples, Jesus is actually leaving the earth, levitating, coming up, going into the cloud.
Right.
And the Bible says, and some doubted. Now, how can you doubt when you see him physically going up in the cloud? Huh. And yet some doubted. Why? It's a thief. Right. Here's another one.
Wait, don't go on.
Okay.
Doubt is a great concept.
Oh, I love here.
Just stay on that because it's the opposite of our theme for this year, which says use your faith voice.
Right.
Some people use their doubt voice and it robs them of
That's
the
right.
promise.
Yeah. It's a thief. It will destroy everything in your life. And that is Satan's number one tool, you know, is to get you to doubt.
I remember when you had just gotten born again and we were both born again and I was talking to a woman who was believing for her husband to get born again, and I was telling her the scriptures she can believe for and, you know, to encourage her to believe the promise. You know, the husbands are won by the conversation of the wives. Pray and believe and ask God, and he'll show you how to pray for him, how to speak to him, and just believe. Because, I mean, you were a miracle.
Yes, I was
still
a miracle.
Are a miracle. Every
Amen.
New birth is a miracle. But anyway, she says, oh, I doubt he'll ever get saved.
So well, you never did say that.
I don't remember ever saying that.
You just made up your mind, I'm going to get born again.
It wasn't an option. Failure was never an option.
That's so true.
That's what happened, though. She says, I doubt that. So, you know, it's a common thing, and you can get into the trap of just repeating that phrase, not realizing the power of your words.
Yes.
But you need to be using your faith voice, which is what our theme is for this whole year. And it really makes a difference when you decide to speak words of faith rather than doubt words. And that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 that you just read. He said, and I'm going to read that in the Amplified.
Okay.
I don't know how that would be because it's such a strong statement. He says, 21, let me go to it, 21. And Jesus answered them, truly I say unto you, if you have faith, a firm relying trust, and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. So they were looking at a tree.
Next verse.
And whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive.
That's coming from the lips of Jesus, man. And you're going to doubt that? Why would anybody doubt that? It's amazing to me. I mean, God Almighty is saying, listen, this will work. You see, now what happened with Eve, and the point was doubt was the first theft of mankind's position. But the second definition is doubt started as a suggestion. I put that in the book and led to an expulsion. He suggested it.
Yeah.
She received it. And they got expelled.
Yeah. They lost their lost the heavenly home.
When you didn't have to.
I mean, the earthly home.
Do you know if they would not have done that, we'd be doing this boardroom chat in the Garden of Eden in heaven? Wonderful. These are some just different definitions. Here's another one, Kat. Doubt is never an answer. It's always a question. Hath God said?
Right.
Doubt is never an answer. It's always a question. See, it makes you become intellectualized instead of spiritualized.
Right.
Nothing wrong being an intellectual, but you should do it through the spirit, through a renewed mind and a crucified body. You see, so when you understand that doubt is never an answer, it's always a question. Where you going? What you going to do? When you coming back? See, and it's sad because that really destroys a lot of people's life. And here, you know, and it's amazing to me how smart you can be and yet be completely so full of doubt. I think some of our greatest scientists are brilliant men and women, yet they don't believe that God exists because they can't see him. Well, you can't see the wind, but you believe it. Well, y'all see the wind? No, you don't. You see the effects of the wind.
Right.
You don't see the wind. It's invisible.
Right. The Bible says the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. So
yeah.
If you say that, really, you're exposing yourself as a fool. But I like what you, it is a question. I went to Genesis chapter 3, where in verse 1 it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of
every
tree of the garden, question mark.
Yeah.
He just, he introduced the subject.
That's right.
She may have been looking at that tree.
Well, she was looking at that tree. Women like to look at pretty things.
And
I
wondering.
Find a lot of times I wake up and Kathy's just looking at me. Hey, I thought I'd say it. Is it true? It's true.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm pretty, but I mean, it's kind of nice.
I think you're pretty.
Well, I think you're pretty too.
I know you look at me a lot.
I do.
I catch you looking. And then I say things like, "I'm thank you for still looking."
Yeah.
After 56 years, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. I like what I saw and see.
Yeah.
So when you understand, you made me laugh there. Doubt is never a question. It's always an answer. But don't you like to look good? I mean, if you have a boyfriend, don't you want him to be looking at you? Not in a crazy way of looking, but that you look nice, or your husband, or whatever, whatever. Or especially your children, you want them to really look nice. I remember every Easter we go to church, you don't see too much of that anymore. People would dress up on Easter, and they dressed their little girls up, and they had what they call can-can slips. I think that's what they call it.
Dresses,
can-can
dress. Well, they had the slip and the dress. Sometimes
and
it was sewn
the little
into
girl
the dress.
Would sit down, and the whole dress would be almost over her head. You know what I'm saying? And look this thick, the slip or whatever you call it. I don't know what you call it. But they were so beautiful. And they, you just wanted to say, boy, your grandchild or your child is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. So doubt is never an answer. It's always a question. And that's what Satan used against Eve. Here's another one. Doubt says you can't. Faith says you can. Now, which one are you going to believe?
I'm going to believe faith.
Yeah, it says you can't. No, you can't do that. You cannot do that. Faith says you can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. This is a good boardroom chat.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. These are different definitions of them. Now, we can go into a whole sermon on each one of them, but I want you to see that. So when somebody says you can't do that, they're trying to get doubt inside of you, but faith says I can. Now, they won't know how to, because they are actually judging you by what they would do.
Yeah.
And they figure they can't do it, so if they can't do it, you won't be able to do it. And that's just ridiculous.
Right.
You know?
Well, it just reminds me of when Jesus came walking on the water and the disciples saw them. And then Peter's the one who said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And he said, come. So he steps out on the water.
That's right.
And he starts walking. And I went turn to that in Matthew 14. It says, but when he saw, well, first I'm going to go to verse 29 of Matthew 14. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Doubt will sink you, boy.
You'll
feel the water coming up your ankles, then up to your calves. Well, you know it, you're soaking wet and you're going under. I just, people, I don't mean this in an arrogant sense. I just refuse to doubt. There's some things in the scripture, in the natural, I think, Mm. In the natural, that can't happen. But Jesus said it could. So I take the word of God and take and put it over everything the world has to say. And I mean that sincerely.
Well, just think about how crazy that even was, even in the natural. What did the wind and the waves have to do with him walking on the water? Yeah. Could he have walked on it a smooth day where there's no wind?
It makes sense.
That had nothing to do with it.
None.
Jesus said, come, and he stepped out, and he started out right, but then he looked at the circumstances. Well, and that's what happens with a lot of people. They hear a word from the Lord, see a promise in the scriptures, and they start walking toward it, but the circumstances around them, maybe words of other people, or maybe remembering things of the past, starts invading your heart, and you start listening to that rather than the original word of Jesus, which was come.
Let me give you another definition to Peter. Doubt never opens your eyes. It's a blindfold. When he began to doubt, he began to see, a blindfold came over him, and all of a sudden, Jesus had to just save him. Mm. And there are a lot of people walking around with blindfolds on them saying, I believe God, but then if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. And that's why Jesus said, why'd you doubt? Now, immediately he caught him. So he had to be very close to him when he began to look at the bushes, the winds, and the waves. Like I say, that's
but
got to do with walking.
He looked at the waves instead of looking at Jesus.
Yeah, he took his eyes off of Jesus, see? And let me go back to what I just said. I put the word of God over everything in life. Everything that I see in the natural, I put the word of God over it.
We use the phrase often, make God's word final authority.
Amen.
And when we use that phrase, it just means that it doesn't matter what circumstance says. It doesn't matter what people say.
We don't deny it.
It doesn't matter what tradition says. It's what did Jesus say about it?
What's the word say?
Yeah. What does the word say?
So some of you may want to write some of these definitions down. Let me say with the first one. Doubt was the first theft of mankind's position. Then we said doubt is never an answer. It's always a question. Then we said doubt started as a suggestion and led to an expulsion. Eve got kicked out the garden.
Right.
Doubt says you can't. Faith says you can.
Hmm.
Am I talking too fast? Can you get them down?
No, let me start again. It's too fast.
Okay, doubt was the first theft of mankind's position, number one. Number two, doubt started as a suggestion and led to an expulsion. Number three, am I waiting long enough?
I'm waiting.
Doubt is never an answer. It's always a question.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, doubt says you can't. Faith says you can. And number five, doubt never opens your eyes because it's a blindfold. It wants to keep you blind. It keeps you looking at what you don't want. I just added another definition to that.
That's, well.
See, it makes you look at what you don't want instead of what you do want. For example, you don't want cancer, but you look at it all the time. You don't want poverty, but you look at it all the time. No, look at what you want. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. That's a song. You can make a song like that. You can do a rap song.
I think blessed there probably is one.
You can do rap that thing, you know. You see? But it always makes you look at what you don't want. And when you look at something you don't want, you begin to accept what you don't want. Why don't you look at what you do want and accept that? Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
You got anything to say about that?
No, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah.
You got a list there.
Oh, I might have to do two, part one and part two. This is not in the book. These are some of the things I didn't put in the book. And there's some great stuff in the book. And the book is called I Never Learned to Doubt. So watch this. Now, one mistake can tag you for the rest of your life. One of the greatest apostles, who was a martyr, who went to India and they flayed him with knives, skinned him, was a guy named Thomas. But he made one mistake. And they've called him since that, Doubting Thomas. One mistake. That's how the world is. They will hold that mistake to you and Jesus forgives you. Look what the work that man did. Jesus didn't think of him as Doubting Thomas. At the time, he said, why'd you doubt Thomas? But he forgave him and went on. Here's the wonderful statement. Doubting Thomas proves to us all that one critical moment of doubting, Jesus can tag us for life. It can make people forget all the great things you did in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody forgot all the great things that Thomas did in faith because he made one mistake. Is someone holding you to a mistake you made? Why don't you tell them to forgive you and forgive yourself and go on to a new order where God wants you to go? See, that's what I'm saying. See, we shouldn't be calling him Doubting Thomas. You know, that. Watch this. Peter was afraid. We could have called him Fearful Peter, but they don't hold him. They call him the fisherman. They call him the head of the thing. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But there's some people, I mean, they will never let you live it down, I guess you could say, and things of that nature. See, this doubt is a cancer that has been cured by the blood of Jesus.
Thomas said a lot of good things.
You yes, can't he
just
did.
Remember, he's the one when they heard that Lazarus was sick and Jesus had said, no, he's dead. And he says, let's go with him.
No, he was supposed to go. He wanted to go to Capernaum. And he said, you know what? And he said, let's go die with him. The other ones didn't want, no, you don't want to go over there. You don't want to go to Jerusalem. He said, no, let's go die with him.
Hmm.
If you can find that, you'll find what I'm talking about. Yeah, this man had some wonderful things about it, but he was tagged with that, you know. I'll give you an example. One of my tags, it comes from one of my best friends, a great man of God who I esteem highly in the faith, and that's John Hagee. One day, one Sunday, I went and preached for him. He called me the apostle of faith. No, the apostle of joy, excuse me. And that stuck. And everywhere I go, they say, you are the apostle of joy. And the reason why I said faith first, I think, is because they have faith in my joy. And that has tagged me everywhere I go. And you know what? I don't mind that tag. It's just such a blessing.
Yeah, see? And I found it. It's in John 11.
Yeah, read that.
Verse 14, it says, and then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him.
Yeah, that's a big statement. That's a man with no fear, who's willing to accept anything just to stay with Jesus. And yet, one mistake. What is one mistake that people remember about you?
Well, I'm not going to
remind them. You married me.
I'm not going to remind them.
You married me.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think of that stuff.
No, you know, I can think of a lot of mistakes, but I mean, I prefer to think of my successes. Since you know, you got a choice to think, you might as well think of the good side.
Right.
You know, and then instead of the bad side. Here is another, and I've said this many times. Children are born believers till you teach them to doubt.
That's great.
Now, why would you want to teach your child to doubt? They have to be taught to it. Think about that. I refused, when Jody was growing up, I would not teach her doubt. We were talking yesterday. We went to eat lunch yesterday. Had a really nice lunch with my daughter and my granddaughter. We were having really great conversation I could just hear. And they were making decisions about Meredith's college or where to go, what to do, how to do it. And I noticed there was no doubt there. We did talk about the different things that would change or naturally. But there was no doubt because she wants to go and has had some wonderful scholarships given to my granddaughter. We're so honored by that. But I even told her this. You don't have to have the... If you decide you don't want to go to that college that gave you that big, all that money, you know, whatever.
Scholarship.
You go where you want if they'll accept you, because I'll take care of it. She never said, are you sure? You mean you'll pay for it, Grant? Oh, you wouldn't pay for it, would you? I told Jody when Meredith was born, the first day, that me and Kathy would pay all her education. From pre-K all the way through college, it wouldn't make any difference. It would be an honor. Jody totally believes that. Mm. You totally believe it. I totally believe it. Meredith totally believes it. And guess who else totally believes it? God Almighty, because he supplies. Children are born believers.
Don't
do that. Mm-hmm. Don't give people opportunities to doubt in your life. Now, that's doing a little preaching right there. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to do that? You want people to say, that's a good man. When that man says something or that woman says something, but you can take their word to the bank, son, it's going to come to pass. I love Psalms 89, 34. In fact, I have it on the church in the front when you walk into Covenant Church. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. Look at me when I say this. I totally and completely believe that. In fact, when I have my offices on the second floor of the executive office, and when I look out my window, the first thing I see is that scripture, Psalms 89, verse 34. And a lot of times I'm looking at some, quote, unbelievable, impossible things, but doubt can't fit because Psalms 89, 34 fills me up completely without a crack at all. My covenant will I not break. I can hear the Lord say that. Jesse, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. Man, that's a great verse. And you ought to go underline it in your Bible. And every once in a while, just go to it and read it over to you. When you're seeing something, I don't know if we can do that. But the Lord said you could. You can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. That's another one. All things. My God, it's beyond human reason. Right. You don't have to have reason for it. You just simply believe it.
Right.
Here's a definition. I hate it, but it's the truth. Satan's greatest weapon is doubt. That's the first thing he used.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let me tell you, shut that weapon up. Don't talk to him. If he puts a thought in your mind, say, that's not my thoughts. And the Bible says, take no thought saying, so don't say it. Because once you say it, it becomes yours. That's not my thought. My thoughts are lovely, just, good, report, pure, virtuous. I'm going to think on these things, devil. And if you don't say the thought, I love this, how I say it, it dies unborn. It aborts itself. I love that. In other words, it just goes away.
Yeah.
Are you ready for another one?
Well, you're moving through them pretty quick.
Well, I got a bunch more. I want to get one because, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind, we're going to do part two on this because it's so vitally important because it's the main weapon Satan uses every time. So let me get to this other one right here. Doubting what God says, now this is powerful. Doubting what God says is satanic pollution.
Oh, wow.
I don't think anybody likes something that's polluted.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. You know, I won't jump in water that's polluted.
Of course not.
Even at a beach. If they say, well, if I see some a little pollution, I ain't going in there. And here's something you go to a health club, and a lot of people jump in the same bathtub. What do they call that thing?
Hot tub.
No, I ain't doing that. I remember my mama wanted to beat me one time. My brother took a bath, and she said, Jessica, just go ahead, jump in the bath. I said, but Mama, Wayne took a bath in that. Well, that's all right. I said, no, I'll beat you, boy. I said, well, get the stick, because I am not taking a bath in my brother's bathwater. I said, man, we can't afford the bathwater. Yeah, we can afford it. You know, she didn't want to have to drain it and start it over again and all that kind of stuff, because she's worried we run out of hot water. You know, that kind of stuff. I said, I'll take a bath in the cold water. I am not taking a bath in Wayne's dirty water. I was about 6 years old. I tell you, I was strong by that. Let me say the point. Doubting what God says is satanic pollution. It's a powerful statement.
It poisons your mind.
Yeah.
Destroys your
I just got something in my spirit. God is speaking to some people today to be a part of this ministry, and you haven't done it. And pollution has come into your life. You got to understand something about me. God has been so good to me. When people send finance to this ministry, getting this from the Spirit, 100% it goes into world evangelism. We're out of debt. We've been debt-free since 1982 because I keep the clear water of Jesse the Planet's ministries pure. I made up my mind that I wouldn't be running with women, stealing money, all this stuff that you hear preachers do. I'm not bragging on myself because it's pretty easy. In fact, get my Faith the Facts where it says love makes obedience easy. It was this week. Go look at and read and then listen to it again. I ask you to be a partner so that your seed would bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. Mm. I believe that. I don't doubt that at all. But Jody, you asked my daughter, she said, Daddy, believe in 100-fold. Like, I ain't never seen it. I mean, I totally, completely believe it.
Well, it's like this testimony we read earlier about they've been a partner for at least 30 years, yeah. And they've heard a lot of these teachings.
Amen.
That you've preached and I've preached,
Amen.
But you've really hit it hard. I believe it is one reason we are totally debt-free,
Amen.
Including our home and cabin.
Amen.
It doesn't just happen because, you know, it's written in the Word of God, but you need to believe it.
Amen.
Of course, the enemy's going to try to come and rob the Word. That's what the thief does.
Yeah.
Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal, to kill and to destroy. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But he can't destroy until he first steals. And what does he steal? He steals
yeah.
the word. He
yeah.
steals the promise that God gave you that you can
wow.
be debt-free, that you can have a live a prosperous life.
And that's what this ministry preaches.
Exactly.
Because it's in the Bible. If you'd like to be a partner, I'd love you to become one. Nothing too small, nothing too big. If you don't think we got some projects, we believe in God right now for 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's $20 million. Why? Two projects destroys it.
Building
things
for growing.
And just doing things. And you may be one of those $1,000 givers. Now, I know that's big. Don't let that throw you. I can't do that. Well, do what you can. One day you will. One day you'll need more than that because God will bless you.
And you know, it's important that you know that it's to sow into good ground.
That's
what
right.
is good ground? Ground that's free of debt, free of sin, that's teaching the Word of God.
Our ground has no dirt in it.
It's not polluted ground.
It's not polluted.
And so it's fruitful ground. It brings forth that 100-fold return.
Amen. So if you'd like to be a partner, go to jdm.org and hit the donate button. You can give that way. Or you can use PayPal if you'd like to. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you'd like. Or you can go to our free JDM app, select the giving you want, and or you can mail in and use the post office. I hope you do that today, because if you do, we've asked the Lord for every dollar given to our ministry to give us a soul into the kingdom. The Lord also said that we would have a $20 million chunk giver. And I thought, well, Lord, if the 20,000 people give $1,000, what do I need the chunk giver? He said, I told you to replenish. Then I said, God, you got something else for me to do besides these two big projects. Mm-hmm. But you know, but as soon as I finished with me, he put something else. Do that today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to do part two on this because this is just, and we're going to start off next week. Watch this, and you will love it. The last one was doubting what God says is satanic pollution. Watch this. We're going to start next week with this. Doubt is the seed that will grow quickly in any soil.
Mm.
It's like a weed. Weeds are the hardest things to kill. They just grow, no water, nothing. They just do it. So don't miss next week. Jesse and Kathy say, we love you. We'll see you next week. Part two coming, okay? God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.